about Broadchurch and May Day. Broadchurch was on last night, and it got massive. That did get big ratings, Boyd.
Yeah, it got about 7 million, I think. Yeah,
which is good, isn't it?
Very good for first episode of a Monday night drama. Yeah,
and it's this is, as I said earlier, this is about a murder in a tiny community. And what's interesting about it is, I spoke to one of the cast from the show yesterday. What I thought was nice. Well, it's sort of a conventional police procedural whodunit. By the end of that first episode, there's about seven or eight candidates who could be the murderer. But it dovetailed with the media, and obviously we like talking about the media. So it was always going to play well with us, Boyd. But it's about the current state of the media. It's about national papers not having much money and regurgitating press releases. It's about local newspapers, and it's partly about Twitter. And that could be clunky and a bit embarrassing, but actually in they handle it well.
I mean, I did notice.
No, they don't.
Well, no, they're not. Why not? Go on then. Why not?
Because it's utterly unrealistic.
Why is it unrealistic?
Because first of all, there are arguably no thriving local papers in all of Britain. The Broadchurch Echo is a thriving entity at the heart of the community.
The Mansfield Chad is Kevin O'Sullivan.
The Daily Herald newspaper, if anybody's interested in the way national daily newspapers work, they do not work like the Daily Herald. And when a local reporter gets a great tip, he does not stick it onto Twitter. So the research...
But that was weird. Why did a reporter put an exclusive on Twitter?
Because it's not accurately researched. It's not how the media works.
It was weird. That moment for me was like they were trying to make it very relevant and modern.
Yeah,
Social media and Twitter into the storyline in a slightly clunky way. But to be honest, I don't think it matters. I saw a lot of tired old hacks, you know, on Twitter. I was like, oh, this is nothing like it. Which they're so furious that the world of hackery in journalism never gets
nobody
depicted
cares,
realistically. But the worlds of nothing ever gets predicted that accurately on TV. Otherwise, it'd be boring. The fact is, the daily life of a shopping journalist is fairly dull. To depict it realistically would be boring. So this is a heavily licensed, dramatized version of it's just a strand in what I thought was an incredibly compelling, brilliantly acted piece of TV. And I just didn't care that the journalism element of it wasn't particularly accurate.
And anyway, Kevin, in explaining journalism to everyone else, I mean, it's not a fly on the wall about journalism. The national reporter says to her editor something to the effect of, I'm sick of regurgitating press releases, can I just get out and report on a story? And as I understand it, that is a complaint that people have in real newspapers, isn't it?
Not really. No, most journalists want to stay in the office and then go out for a long lunch. nobody wants to waste their time on boring little stories in seaside towns, you know. But I don't, as
heartless Kevin,
as Boyd, as Boyd,
a teenager has died, Kevin.
Yes, it's only pretend, Richard. As Boyd quite rightly says, though, I don't think that the journalistic story strand matters at all. I think it was a really compelling piece of television drama with a fantastic cast, and to my mind, it knocks spots off May Day.
This is here's a clip then of David Tennant getting a bit angry. He's the policeman and moody fella. And he's annoyed about this tweet that has been released, giving people sensitive information.
For God's sake! Twitter! These people's lives have been destroyed, and now our incompetence has made it worse. Think what we have to do now to rebuild trust there. Who told the journalist?
I think it might have been me.
Your nephew.
He'd seen Danny's sister leaving Stirling the Beach. I didn't tell him anything. I told him not to publish. He's a little shit. I'll read the riot act and I'll explain to the family.
Go away.
Olivia Colman's character, is she related to the journalist? I've already forgotten. There's something like that.
Yeah, she's his auntie.
Yeah. Peter in Bolton says, it is a gripping show. It's very well made. Peter in Bolton says, whenever I watch these types of shows, he's talking about May Day and Broadchurch, these British crime dramas, I just wondered to myself, have the writers, directors, producers and actors never seen Prime Suspect, Cracker, The Killing, The Bridge, Spiral, etc.?
That's the problem they have.
But to be fair, Boyd, although Broadchurch, I also think it is very good.
Yeah.
It isn't as good as Cracker and Prime Suspect or The Killing or The Bridge or Spiral.
I think it's potentially as good as The Killing and Spiral and those. I mean,
really?
Cracker and Prime Suspect are probably the best in my favourite crime, British crime dramas of all time. Certainly the first, you know, the first series of Prime Suspect. But I think this is up there with the thing about, I always say this about those Danish, particularly crime thrillers, like, you know, they're subtitled. People have a very high opinion of them, partly because we're watching something from a subtitle. I think if this was subtitled, you'd think it was as good as those.
I think
it's up there with those. I think it's every bit. I was certainly absolutely riveted from the first few minutes with a brilliant opening, very stylishly directed. Yeah. And the cast is Rolls-Royce car. Every single character is played by an absolutely brilliant actor. So it does feel like as big an event to me as those excellent
I think ITV are doing very well with drama, aren't they?
They've upped their game massively.
They might not be doing very well with Food Glorious Food. No.
They shouldn't have put Lightfields after Food Glorious Food, because that should have done a lot better than it did, and it only got about 3.1.
Yeah, Lightfields is very good.
Because it inherited Food Glorious Food's paltry audience.
And Mayday, which is, Kevin, the BBC One version of the same thing, basically. Because it's all about a small community and they know each other. The difference being Broadchurch is a bit more police procedural, classic detective drama. This seems to be borrowing some of the tropes of horror movies, doesn't it?
Well, I think also it's what we get both these programmes in a loose way are picking up on the popularity of Nordic noir. So it's the darkness, you know, suburban noir, they call it. So Mayday, the problem with, I don't think Mayday is in any way a travesty. I think there is far too much of a gallery of potential suspects and not enough story. So it's like an identity parade on telly. And it's moving too slowly. My only question about Mayday really is, fair enough if it's a weekly show, but who at BBC One looked at this and said, this is such a blockbuster, we'll stick it over five consecutive nights? Because it's hemorrhaging viewers. It lost 1 million from the beginning of the first episode on Sunday to the end. Last night it lost 2 million more, down to 4.3. So it isn't playing well. And I think it's because it's far too slow. It's, as I say, it's not at all bad, but it's too slow.
Boyd, I thought, because again, I thought this was an excellent cast as well. And I think, you know, that guy from, that fella from Spooks is very good. Aidan Gillen, who is the mayor in The Wire. You know, it's also a very good cast. I wondered if in the end they were all just a bit too cold. There was real emotional, the Broadchurch had a real kind of emotive and emotional impact, didn't it? It felt like a real human drama, whereas this felt like
a real community, and I don't think Mayday's community feels at all real.
This felt a bit mannered because it was trying to be a bit horror movie like.
Yeah, and it also is slightly, you're right, and it's there's a bit of Wicker Man going on, and also the characters are much odder. So for me, Broadchurch is kind of all about fairly normal seeming people caught in an incredible situation, and the script tries to be depicting normal people living everyday lives in an extraordinary event. But whereas this seems to be about odd people, you know, every character has something slightly peculiar about them. You don't quite know what that peculiar thing is, and I think that's very interesting. I think it's a way above average piece of TV. Its main problem is that it's up against a brilliant piece of TV, which is very similar.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. It's still extremely well made.
Yeah.
The message seems to be, don't live in a tiny community, everybody's weird.
Oh, completely, yeah. I mean, and I love that kind of thing normally. You know, I like dramas that have peculiar, eccentric, weird characters. You don't know what they're doing and what they're up to. It's just that it is too slow, and it doesn't feel, I totally agree with Kevin, stripping it across the week, it has to feel like a big event, and this feels like a perfectly decent drama, just not something that needs to be made a big event of.
And everyone was so kind of cold and borderline unpleasant that by the end of it, I actually...
It's exhausting.
And this girl that's gone missing, I thought, I don't care whether she's dead or alive. I'm not bothered.
It's a bit cruel, but I know what you mean.
Not that cruel, because she doesn't actually exist.
Care about the boy in Broadchurch, but not,
Kevin,
the girl,
was cruel.
The girl in Mayday.
I certainly didn't think, I really want to watch five nights of these people
absolutely.
In a row. And that is a big challenge for people. I kind of did feel, with Broadchurch, I'd be quite happy to watch five nights of that and those people.
I agree.
But of course, having the short attention spans that we do, we won't.
No.
I'm terrible at only watching one or two episodes of a show. I'm going, I got that. I did that with The Killing. I think I watched three episodes. Yeah, I got that. That'll do.
Story of the critic's life, I'll tell you.
Now, Broad